1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
It's time now for the Cowboy Jim Show with your very special star and guest, Cowboy Jim. Yes, Cowboy Jim, one of the all-time greats in the history of television. All right, kids, let's bring on Cowboy Jim. Bill, can we please, can you kill the music for a moment? Kids, I want to tell you. Oh, Bob, you just keep that quiet for a minute. Kids, I want to tell you, I want you to be careful when you're going to school. This sound is the sound. That's an electric saw. I don't want to say anything, but it's something you don't want to hear. If a man says, "Hey, I know where some candy is," what do you say to him? No, you don't say that. You don't. No. You say, "No, sir, I'm not getting in no car with you." I don't want to be graphic, but the next thing you're liable to hear if you get in a car with him is... Oh, yeah, that's okay, I'm sorry. That's not a good thing. And then you won't hear this because after you hear this, you know, you won't hear anything else. But then what happens is this. All right, now, you probably ask yourself, what is that, a ball game? Is that, what is that? It's a cafeteria. I'm only going to say this, I'm trying to be delicate. Chili fixins. So those three things, kids, I want you to keep in mind here on the Cowboy Jim Show. We'll be back with more Cowboy Jim in a moment.
We're up to you. Jim, Bill Wilson wants to talk to you.
All right. I'll be in a minute. How was it?
Real good. Good show.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, kids. Thanks for being here.
Run in.
Bill, you want to see me?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit about what you were doing there on the program today. I heard a saw and I heard a cafeteria.
Yeah, well, it was part of the Kid Awareness Week thing we're doing.
Well, you're trying to tell the children to be safe, and I understand that. But I asked you to be delicate about it.
I think I was delicate.
How do you figure that?
I didn't get graphic.
You didn't get graphic. I heard an electric saw and a cafeteria.
Yes. All I did was I had a saw, cafeteria, and chili. Now, you said only three things.
Yeah, but God, Bill, or Jim, or whatever your name is, I'm Bill, right?
You're Bill.
All right. I don't understand. So in other words, couldn't you just say to the kids, don't get in a car with a strange man?
I did say that.
Okay. Why did you have to take it to the next step of dismemberment and the possibility that they're turned into chili? See, that's my point.
All right, it's a good point, but...
Damn right it's a good point.
But in order to drive home...
I'm driving home nothing. I got 5 million... Not just kids, but mothers and fathers locally here on this TV station watching this show. And all I want you to do is tell the kids to be safe, and you've got a saw and a cafeteria, and then you bring up chili.
All right.
See, that's all I'm saying. I think you do a great show, Jim. You've won Emmy after Emmy. You knocked Bozo the Clown so far out of this market, man, that guy's got to get a wheelchair and take himself home. You've done it all, and I'm mighty grateful to you. What you've done for Greater Media, Channel 51, and the entire Megalopolis broadcast family. But by God, oh God, Chili?
I understand.
You're doing a kid show. Little tiny ones. Babies watching. They're going to go into their mom and say, "Mommy, I don't want a man to catch me because he will saw me up and then tenderize me, use preservatives, put me in a can. It'll be shipped to a local Perry's boy, and then an old lady will be eating me with crackers." And I think that's graphic.
You're probably right. It is graphic.
Well, that's not what we do. The Megalopolis Broadcast Concern, Jim Vidovich and all of his sons, have devoted themselves to quality family broadcasting on this here TV station. And I get a saw, a cafeteria, just so I got a mental picture, is that it?
I wanted the kids to, yeah, have a mental picture of an old lady.
Oh, God! God!
The preceding has been a dramatization in the life of Cowboy Jim. Pretty realistic, huh, kids? Yeah? Well, how realistic is this? Yeah, Okay, thank you. Cowboy Jim is a presentation of the Public Broadcasting Family. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Anyway, our website has this section here. It's called. It's a section that we just put up because what happened was I went over to the LA Times website and I know they have archived material. We have a section on our website called Press Interviews, things that I've done over the years that got covered in the news, and. It's not like I think I'm the greatest thing in the world, but any little bit helps in promoting the show. That's all I'm trying to say. And so we go to our website and we try to provide things beyond the broadcast material that we have on there. So if you go to press, you click on the section press, you have this little section that says LA Times, the early years. And there's an article from May of 1997. And I remembered this. I had filled in for the morning host on a local radio station, my local station at the time, because they wanted to try to promote my show, and they thought one of the good ways to do that was to put me on morning drive and expose me to a large audience. Now, this was in May of 97, and I came on the air, and I said that the host of the show, who was ordinarily there, was fired because he'd been pilfering paper clips and Xerox paper, right? And then I did my usual shtick. I had doing voice bits and stuff. The next thing I know, it's in the L.A. Times. Now, only in Los Angeles, where the radio is so dull, does some kind of, you know, harmless prank like that. I mean, it really wasn't that big of a thing. I mean, it was just sort of a way for me to get people a little crazy, get the listeners crazy. I sure as hell didn't think a local newspaper was going to pick up on it. But then that was like, if you can believe this, in San Francisco, this is the kind of lightweight town San Francisco is. Some dude was on the air there one night, and a caller calls, and the caller calls the mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown. He calls him the N-word. And the host of the show didn't hit what we call in the business the dump button, which is basically a button that you hit that'll bleep out the word. It doesn't bleep it out, but it takes it off the air. He didn't hit it in time, and so the N-word got out over the air. Would you believe that made the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle? Because that's, like I say, I mean, but that's also the state of newspapers. But we went ahead and we posted this article about this show that I was, you know, filling in for this guy. And I said, well, you know, the cat was taken off the air. He says, and he was pilfering all kinds of office stuff. The guy comes back on the air, the guy that I was filling in for, he went nuts. And he's talking about how he's got a job other than his broadcast job, which means that he has to have the trust of the public. I got a job. I have to have the trust of the public. You come on my radio show and you say things like that. I'm thinking, I don't know about your other job, man. I'm in the radio business here. What do you do for a living? I'm supposed to worry about your other gig? I ain't doing a commercial for your other gig. I'm doing a commercial for my show. Well, nonetheless, because he's got this other job, which I guess being on the radio helps him with his other gig, he went nuts, and I never again ever filled in on that show for as long as I was on that station. I mean, that guy would have, he'd have a corpse on the air. He would have King Tut's body propped up before he'd have me on the air. So we put the whole thing on the webpage here. And it describes how this guy went berserk. Talks about how satirical allegations are a bunch of crap. You know, I really like it when people who aren't qualified to even spell the word satire want to comment on what it is. You know, news talk radio and talk radio in general never even heard the word satire before my show came on the air. Now, I'm not talking about other shows like Dahl or Stern or entertainment-driven shows. I mean a show that's gotten shoehorned into more news talk stations like mine. And then I say, well, you know, I'm doing satire, and they look at you with their, you know, their nose starts to run a little bit, just a little bit of snot. You ever seen a kid stare at you, and he's just got a little bit of snot in his nose, and he's like, huh? That's the way most program directors look at me when I say, well, my show is satire. And they automatically shrink to about 4 feet tall, and they get younger, and they have a little Dutch boy haircut, and a little drip of snot's coming out of their nose. That's what happens to most programmers and general managers when I use the word satire. They just go, they're going from, you know, Phil, your radio show. Well, it's basically satire, sir. And I just like to say, hey, what you talking about? So then, you know, the guy says, well, I'm doing a satirical thing, man. And beyond that, I don't owe you anything in terms of your other gig. What do you mean other job? The only job I got's this job. The only job I recognize that you have is this job. You got anything outside of this job, that means that you're up for grabs. I mean, you're doing it at your own risk. Because if you do something on the radio that reflects negatively on your other job, whether I'm here or not, I mean, who are you going to blame for that? So, nonetheless, the guy says, well, it's not satire. It's one of the reasons why I decided, you know, this radio show is far better on a sports station than on a news talk station, because news talk, man, they just take it so serious. They think they're actually changing the world over there. Any news talk station you want to talk about, they really think they're doing something special. And then along comes Phil, and, oh, well, that's just a bunch of crap. Smartest show probably on any news talk station would be mine, because all these other guys, when they're not doing a talk show, they're selling, I don't know what the hell they're selling, jewelry or something? Or they're, you know, they're out selling hair pieces. Hi, I'm Bill Johnson for Sedgelow Hair Pieces. And, well, you know, Bill Johnson's a turd. Do you realize what you just did to me? Why? What did I do? I called you a turd. Yes, but I sell hair pieces. So? You're on the radio, aren't you? Yes. And I think you're a turd, right? Yes. Why can't I say it? Because I sell hair pieces. No one's going to buy one from a turd. Well, that's just too bad, man. You're a turd, and I think you're a turd, and if you sell hair pieces, well, I'm going to go talk to the boss. You can't call me a turd. Hey, man, well, you know, what is this, brokered radio all of a sudden? Hi, I got 4 hours. I think I'll just start pitching my hairpiece business. Talk about a little drip of snot coming down out of your nose. I think they ought to have most pictures of talk show hosts in America, with the exception of a handful of guys, they should have every one of those pictures and just a little drip of snot. What is it with kids anyway in their faces? You look at a kid's face, a little bit of like a crusted impetigo thing here, a little thing of snot here, the scratch on the ear, just a hint of chocolate smeared here, and then something under their nails. You don't even want to know what that is, but it may be fecal. And they're just like, man, another man over there said, how could I listen to what you're saying, man, when there's a lot going on your face right now? I can't, what do you want me to say to you? There's too much happening on your face. I can't think of what you're saying to me.
No, but a man said that they,
will you wipe off? Give me a towel first.
No.
And that's the last thing a kid wants you to do is wipe his face off, right? Come on, let me just, okay, man, will you go through life with a little bit of snot there and some chocolate on your kisser? Try interviewing for a job like that. Of course, they don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you really got off the subject, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I had to get off the subject. Anyway, go to our website. So to wrap it all up, go to our website and go to that little section there that's called Press, And it's a smaller section, a subsection called L.A. Times, The Early Years. I think you'll really enjoy it. And while you're on our website, you can go and get a backstage pass. And that enables you to get all of the audio from our show. We have live streaming 24 hours a day. You can listen to the show anytime you want. Or what's even better, we now have our new podcast where it downloads to your pod, your thing, you know, your iPod. Downloads to your thing. And you can listen to it anytime you want. That's for $6.95. That's a free feature of the Backstage Pass and then the archive material and all of our video material. So just check it out at www.philhenryshow.com. And while you're there, go to our souvenir shop, pick up our Best Of CD, and that's the only pitch I'm going to do for all of that stuff tonight. Although the Best Of CD does go to my friend's place, The Money, and it's a very, very worthwhile cause. It's a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. So, I don't know, you know, if you can buy the CD and throw it away, but the $20 does go to a very cool thing. And over the years, we've raised close to $1 million.
A lot of money, that is.
What did I tell you about talking like Yoda?
Me talk like Yoda, you not say.
If you talk like Yoda one more time...
All right, I'm sorry.
I'm going to kill you. We've raised... close to $1 million... Oh, hit the music. All right, we've raised close to $1 million for my friend's place with the sale of our CD, so it would be a very beautiful thing if you'd, you know, check that out. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. In the news, the Georgia woman who ran away from her wedding is checking herself into a hospital. Officials from Jennifer Wilbanks Church said on Tuesday. Wilbanks is in for voluntary treatment for physical and mental issues that she believes played a major role in her decision to leave town last month, the church said in a statement. The 32-year-old woman touched off an extensive search last month when she vanished from her Georgia home days before her wedding. The local district attorney is deciding whether to charge her with making false statements. Word of her hospital treatment may be the last about Wilbanks for a while. Her family's church says it will not be disclosing how long she'll be in the hospital or when there will be any updates. We commented last week that, I didn't comment, but one of our characters did, that if there is a police call to that house for domestic violence, well, you can certainly understand, given what that poor guy's been through. But I don't know that's necessarily, you know, I don't know if you really need to check yourself into a nut bin because you don't want to marry some guy and live in Duluth, Georgia. Now, I say that with the greatest of respect, and what? You don't want to live here? Look, put him in a nut house. No, can we move or something? You ought to watch the way you're talking there, Henry. You might be on in Duluth. It's probably a great town. I'm a big city guy. That's all I'm saying. It's nothing about Duluth, Georgia or Duluth, Minnesota. And we happen to be on in Duluth, Minnesota. I just happen to like larger buildings. It's just a thing. Although I've lived in small cities and I've made a lot of great friends there and it's wonderful. I just got a nice email from somebody in Fargo.
Now want me get coffee, you?
What?
Now want me get coffee, you?
Now want me get coffee, you? Is that more Yoda talk?
Me talk Yoda, yeah, you.
Come here.
Complete. Ow! Ow! Hurt me, ow!
Now you can go me get coffee, you. What is that, retard talk or something?
It's Yoda talk!
Yoda talk? Man, I remember seeing Yoda. I never heard of him talking like that.
Bullcrap! You never heard Yoda? Or, excuse me, never heard Yoda, you bullcrap?
I think I did. I never heard him talking like some freaking guy that's got Tourette's. The hell is that? Yeah, David.
You never heard him talk like that.
Who?
Yoda!
I don't remember.
But that's the way the guy talks!
What, does he talk like he's a guy that's got brain damage? Like he went through a windshield?
Yes! That's the whole backstory on Yoda. He went through a windshield.
Yeah, man, I talk like a tard.
All right, well, I'm sorry, bud.
Kiss and make up.
All right, bud, come here. Let me hug you and kiss you and give you a little hip rub.
Get out of here, you queer.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
My next guest is Dr. Jim Sadler, and Dr. Sadler is currently under investigation. You probably saw the article in one of your local papers. A computer was confiscated from his home that contained images that police are very, very curious about. We have Dr. Sadler on the line from his home right now in Fort Myers, Florida. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Sir, your computer, your home computer, was confiscated by local police. Is that correct?
Hold on. Look at the forehand that he has.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm in the middle of a over 35 tennis tournament right now, and I'm coaching one of the players. So, go ahead.
All right, I'm going to need your undivided attention here because these are some serious charges.
I certainly understand.
All right, you were your computer, I should say. Were you served with a search warrant?
I was, Phil. Local sheriff and came in. Is that 30 love? Local sheriff came in and confiscated my computer. I was doing medical research in the flu virus, and they suddenly took my computer, and I found it to be a violation of my rights as a researcher, constitutional rights to right to privacy and so forth. My attorney is looking into this.
Do you have any idea why the police wanted your computer?
What's that?
Do you have any idea why the police wanted your computer?
Well, you know what was in the news.
Well, what was in the news is that they say you had photographs of 500 naked children, most of them foreign, one of, I believe, from a Thailand or a Burmese website.
I said I was doing research on, hold on, can you get me a box of popcorn? Go ahead.
You had on your computer, according to police, the pictures of 500 naked children. Some of them from...
Oh, so you think this is all funny, huh?
No, man, I'm listening to you at a tennis tournament.
I'm sorry, I'm coaching a couple players here. Go ahead.
Did you have 500 pictures of 500 naked kids?
I did, Phil. Part of a medical research paper that I'm doing... Oh, that was on the line. Part of a medical research paper that I'm doing on bedwetting. And
why are the kids naked?
Say that?
Why do you got naked kids if you're doing a research paper on bedwetting?
This is an anatomical disease as well as a biological disease as well as a psychological disease. In looking into the various flu viruses, I needed what are called test samples. And I found those. Yeah. Game point, come on. I needed it.
Can I have your attention?
What?
Can I have your attention?
I'm sorry.
Can I have your attention?
Who am I speaking with?
My name is Phil Hendry. I do a talk show.
Hold on a minute. Give me the name of that ball boy. Give me the name of the ball boy. We'll get the soup. Go ahead. I think the guy hung up.
I didn't hang up. I'm still here, sir.
Look, I'm doing a paper on flu viruses.
Are you doing a paper on bedwetting?
No.
Well, you said you were.
I said it's on the flu, and I have the photographs of 500. It might be 501 if I get this ball boy to go have soup. But I'm joking about that. That's a joke. That has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, that's a real great thing to be joking about, man, when a cop's got your computer.
Well, I think you're... Hold on a minute. Pass this note down to the ball boy if he wants... And see if he likes a vanilla ice cream. You know as well as I do, Phil, that...
You know, your behavior is very suspicious. You're in the middle of talking to me about 500 computers, 500 pictures on your computer. Hello? Nice going, bud.
Why is it my fault?
I'll tell you why it's your fault. You're the guy that sets up the interview. You tell the guy you're talking to a radio station. I need to talk to the guy about this thing where he's got 500 pictures of nude Thai kids, and he's passing notes to the ball boy and ordering popcorn.
What do you want me to do about it?
Tell him to get these guests prepped for when they're going to come on the air.
so that I can talk to them and have their undivided attention. Not have to compete with this dude, checking out the ball boy, ask him if he likes vanilla ice cream. And I'm doing a research paper on bedwetting. Why don't you get me a cop or something?
You want to talk to the doctor, you perv.
Oh, yeah, that's why, bud. Yeah, because I'm so perverted, I wanted to get the lowdown on his pictures. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
Pervert.
The guy had 500 pictures on his computer of nude kids. I want to talk to the guy and get the information that I need to ascertain whether this story is valid, whether this man's being set up, what the thing is, okay? I need his undivided attention. If you call him up and you hear him in the middle of a freaking tennis match, you might say to him, can you call us at a later date?
Well, he said the match might run long.
Oh, okay. Well, then have it another day. Sir, are you there?
Hold on. Okay, what was your question?
Why did you have pictures of 500 naked kids on your computer?
Phil, I'm doing a paper right now on a number of diseases. One of them has to do with male pattern baldness. And what I'm trying to...
Male pattern baldness, like bald men.
Yes.
So that's 500 naked kids.
Right. He's coming this way.
Oh, man. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bob Bacon is in Augusta, Georgia. Bob, you got a little bit of an announcement.
I actually do, Phil. We're flying over Augusta, Georgia right now, and we are over the city center, and this is a part of Augusta, Georgia, where there are a great many government buildings and a great many municipal buildings, a place of business. They're unveiling the statue, the likeness of James Brown, the godfather of soul. And, it is a controversial statue, but one that I think is going to stand the test of time. It is a statement, as we are told by the artist, one of a contemporary view of James Brown, one that looks not only at the man's life, at the man's likeness, but at the man's soul, as he was the godfather of soul. The statue depicts James Brown with a syringe in one hand and holding the throat of his wife in the other. And it is...
Whoa, hold on for a minute. This is a what?
This is a picture of James Brown, Phil.
And what does it show him doing?
He's holding a syringe needle and the throat of a woman. And doing it, as we all very familiar, that kind of high kick step as he kind of kicked the microphone back. A beloved image of James Brown here in Augusta, Georgia. It was Bob Bakey reporting.
Get him back on the two-way.
Come in, Bob.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear. This is a statue of James Brown holding a syringe in one hand and the throat of a woman in another. And he is high-stepping and kicking the microphone back.
That is correct, Phyllis. You remember James Brown doing that kind of little quick step, and then he kicked the microphone stand and bring it back. It was quite a beloved step of a beloved godfather of soul. Bob Bigger Boy.
Would you tell him to come back and don't blow me off?
Come in, Bob.
Yeah, Phil.
When I'm done talking to you, then I'll say thanks a lot, Bob, okay?
You got it.
I don't understand how they would allow a statue, one of such controversy, whether or not it's true that James Brown is used drugs or beat women. Do you suppose that a statue showing him in that likeness, would you think that that's probably not a very flattering statue? I mean, would you ask any of the city officials?
Phil, the city officials I spoke with said that they were deferring to the artist being a very well-known local artist from the Savannah, Georgia area, and they went to the Savannah Art College. And I think that the statue, which is done in marble and granite, on a base of, I believe the base is marble, very beautiful statue, actually, is one that is a contemporary statement and they feel the one that will stand the test of time. I'm Bob Baking reporting.
Wait a minute. Get him back.
Come in, Bob.
Yeah, Phil.
Will you please wait for me to say thanks a lot, Bob, and then you can say Bob Baking reporting?
You got it. Anything else?
No, I can't think of anything.
Bob Baking.
What a jerk. Why don't you just let him go?
Because I don't want no guy saying Bob Baking reporting until I'm ready for him to go.
He's all done.
But I wasn't done. How'd you like me to just be standing here talking to you and all of a sudden, well, Phil Hendry reporting and walk out of the room?
You do it all the time.
As if I... Never mind. All right, so the new statue in Augusta is of James Brown holding a woman's throat in a syringe. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Is Deborah Norville on TV? Have you seen her on television doing anything lately? I don't know, but she's got a website, and I always thought she was great. I mean, I didn't think she was good on that Today Show, but that's an example of wrong casting. You know, in other words, they stuck her in there. Boy, she's a gorgeous chick, and they sit her down in that Today Show chair. And there's something about those chairs. I don't know what those Today Show chairs, if they've been checked out by the FDA, if they've been looked at by NASA, but the minute some people sit in them, they turn just to a lump of crap before your eyes. They just turn into a walking log. They could be fantastic doing the news or great doing a sport. The minute you park them down there, and only certain people are immune to the effects. Matt Lauer, Katie Couric, and Al Roker. Those are the only three that have been able to withstand the turd-producing effects of those. Anyway, Deborah Norville's got a website, and she used to do the Today Show, and she also was a newswoman, and a lot of you guys may not remember her, but she was really out of... I thought she was cool. She's a nice lady, and she was very talented, and they had her in there, but apparently Katie Couric... Well, Norville slept with Couric's husband, okay? And it was kind of a... thing. Katie never forgave her for that. Katie thought Deborah gave her husband cancer. It was somehow contagious. What an idiot. Now, getting back to James Brown, I got one James Brown story. As long as they're unveiling the statue of him there in Augusta, holding the syringe in one hand and a woman's throat in the other. Oh, shut up. I went back to Washington, D.C., and this was a number of years ago. They were having a welcome home concert for Vietnam veterans. It was one of these deals where they felt like they, and they were rightfully so, had neglected their returning Vietnam veterans. They had come back to a very controversial political climate, controversial social climate, when they did return home originally. And so it was felt by this period in our history, the mid to late 80s, that the Vietnam veteran needed a worthwhile welcome home party. And across the summer of 1987, across the country and across that summer, there were a number of concerts across America welcoming home Vietnam vets, a lot of them sponsored by the VVAF or other associated organizations. And they had one at the old Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland, July 4th weekend. And I don't know what's wrong with my throat tonight, guys, but I know it sounds tired. And maybe it's because I smoked a big fat joint just before I came on the air. No, I think it's probably it's allergies. All right, anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's why you're high, allergies.
I'm not high. So I went back to D.C. for this concert to welcome home the vets, John Fogerty, the Four Tops. I mean, a really varied bill of entertainment. And all 60s era, and Frankie Valli was there. I remember Frankie was in the press tent. What they have set up is a tent for the press. You've seen it at the Academy Awards. You go and you sit there like a dumbass, and then they parade in the artists. Now, I was not and am not a newsman, so I didn't really know the protocol, but I did have a press pass. And I remember going down to this press tent after the artists would come off the stage, and I would go right up to the artist and start interviewing him. And there'd be a woman there saying, no, 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 no. You don't talk to them now. You got to go sit in your chair. And Levi Stubbs, is that his name? The guy from the Four Tops. He was the dude that did the voice of that flower in Little Shop of Horrors. He was a great guy. He's the dude that sings the lead. He's the guy that, you know, I can't help myself. The lead singer. Very nice guy, and he's talking to me. And the next thing I know, and halfway through the interview, this woman's like, no, 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 you can't talk to him. All right, so everybody's coming back to the press tent to be interviewed. Four Tops, Frankie Valli screaming like a, you know, with his big pumped out hair. All these cats are coming back, and everybody's throwing questions. Suddenly, the next interview subject comes out onto the little stage and the microphones they have there for the press. Leading him in is a dark-haired woman in a purple cape and a black cat suit. And then in walks James Brown. And by God, he's wearing purple. Got on the big purple suit with that tiny little purple vest thing. And this chick is mopping his brow. For real. Everybody, now you're talking about reporters, New York Times, LA Times. These guys have been around. They've seen it all. Some of these guys have been to war zones. They just, you could see them lean back in their chairs and shut up. And they didn't say a thing. And in comes James Brown, man. And this cat sort of threw off this energy. Like, in other words, the energy was this. If you ask me anything, it better be a good question. Don't even waste my time. And he stood there at the microphone looking at people, and everybody's staring at him. He's like, and finally he steps up, he goes, any questions? And very timidly, James, did you? Maybe like two questions. Thank you. And he just turns around and this chick mopping his brow. I've never seen anybody scare newspaper reporters before other than James Brown. James Brown the singer and James Brown the football player. He scared the hell out of me once. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.